Now, what I'm trying to say here, there is nothing, according to, I think it was David Paulson that said it, that the Jews didn't understand that something was secular and something was spiritual. And that's actually a Christian concept. I'm going to say something here. We must understand, because sometimes we take our zeals, we use our zeal wrongly. So you find a man who at work he's unfaithful. Maybe he's an university lecturer like me. The students think he's a very useless lecturer. Doesn't teach well, doesn't care about their welfare, doesn't care whether they learn or not. Yet in church, he's a deacon, he's promoted, and he thinks for that reason he's going to special heaven. Let me say something to you. The kingdom of God, you know, there's something he said. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Now, that's from King James, but I like the fact that King James uses the expression kingdoms. There are many kingdoms on this earth, all right? And each one must come into the kingdom of God. Each one must become the kingdom of God. And God does not send preachers into every one of them. And anyone he sends you into, you must understand that this is ministry. Listen, I said the major problem is that the church, oftentimes, they are not committed truly to kingdom. Not committed truly to the advancement of the kingdom. And I'm trying to emphasize that what happens is that the world taught them their own system. Let me tell you things the way Jesus said them. Just the words of the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to embellish it. I just say the way he said it. He said, if you do what I told you to do, you will never go hungry. That's the summary. If you are doing what I said you should be doing, you will never be hungry. Anything you need, I will send them in your direction. That is, what's this man's name? Lester Sumrall. In his days, the man had a ministry of going around to give food to the poor in poor countries and disaster areas. I don't know the figures for sure, but I'm sure of the fact that his ministry had at least one Hercules jet. Hercules is a transport jet. It's used for moving things. The ministry owned it. The man was not a businessman. What he was just doing was, in his own way, taking the love. He was also a preacher. But he was taking the love of God to the needy. And God, you know, nobody knew he had a, most people didn't know he had a private jet, what they call private jet. But his own was not for his flying around. Transport, you know, a Hercules is what he used to carry load. Even though he was not into a flamboyant ministry. Are you getting my point? Yet God organized it. He had one. God said, there is nothing you will ever need. I will not give to you if you are doing what I said you should do. I've said to you, Christian, and I keep on saying, let's stop worshiping the devil. The devil is not the reason why you are broke. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom, this is what the world has done to us. The world has taught us that be part of us. Use your eyes. God doesn't expect us to use our eyes. He expects us to use our ears, our spiritual ears, and fashion our lives according to what we are told from his word. If he says, don't worry about food, God said, never take a job because it guarantees food. That's what he meant. Let me tell you what faith is. I want to digress briefly. Faith is not how you feel. Faith is not how you think. What I mean is that it's not, you wake up in the morning, do I have faith today? I think I'm walking in faith. Faith is how you act based on what you have heard. That's all faith is. If you want to know whether you have faith or not, stop thinking about how you feel. Just check what actions are you taking based upon what you were told, based upon what you heard from God. What am I going to say? In life, faith is how you make decisions. That is, when you make decisions, we know whether you know whether you have faith or you don't. What the world said to us is this: make decisions based on what you shall eat, make decisions based on what you shall drink, make decisions based on with what shall you be clothed. Do you understand my point? That's why I tell Christians, should I live in America? Should I live in Nigeria? Should I live in London? That in the UK, or be in South Africa? Should I move to Australia or move to Dubai? Listen, ask yourself simply, why am I doing what I am doing? If it is because I feel like with that future is secure, I have absolutely disobeyed the words of the Lord Jesus that said, take no thought for the morrow. The life of a believer is that in whatever I want to do, I identify the ministry and the assignment for today. Sufficient unto the day, Jesus said, is the evil thereof. Each day, there is something that God said I must be doing. And this is what I'm trying to explain about Christian mindset and kingdom consciousness. I do that thing as a matter of my assignment in the pushing forward of God's kingdom. So if I'm in the market, I am not content with making profit. No. The other day I talked about the Christian balance sheet. The Christian balance sheet is not I bought for 10 naira, I sold for 12 naira. That's not a Christian balance sheet. The Christian balance sheet is that today I didn't lie to anybody. I told everybody what this was. If this was original, this particular thing, I told them it was. My price is secondary now. Is how did I deal with them with honesty? How did I do my trading? That's my balance sheet. If at the end of the day, I made money, but I developed a reputation in the market, say, that man, if he tells you good money, check outside though. If it be evening. If that's my reputation in the market, I have failed, I have failed, I have failed. I have lost. Because I wasn't sent there to go and make money. I was sent there to go and advance kingdom. And this is how the kingdom advances. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm emphasizing the fact that I'm talking about commitment now. Kingdom-mindedness. That's what I'm talking about. We talked about the righteousness of God and all of that in previous messages. So I don't want to preach those things again. You can go and get those messages. The kingdom life and stuff like that. I discuss all of these things. But what I'm focusing on now is the mind that says, I want to advance the kingdom. So if, for example, I find myself in music industry, my mindset is not, this one makes money. That is what we have found in today's Christianity. The other day we were chatting, some of us, you know, many of us ministers of the gospel were just chatting. You know, we, the church, we have spoiled our music, our singers. They are the only ones that, they will give you a bill before they come, and nobody thinks it's ungodly. But if I dare it, you say, Pastor Banky is your pastor. Do you know he gave us a bill before he came to our church? If one of our brothers called me, he mentioned the name of another minister, that somebody said that he was invited to go somewhere and he gave them a bill, how much they would pay him for his services. So the fellow called me and said, you know him, is it true? I said, that guy I know, I say it's not possible. He's a preacher. He said, but the person who told me is also a reliable person, an authentic source. So now called the fellow, I think I know what happened. He runs two speaking engagements. One as a preacher, the second one, something like a business trainer and business developer. I said, maybe that was what they mixed up. I said, if he's a fellow I know, no, he doesn't charge for his ministry. Now, why did I tell the story? Do you know? It was talk that how can he, in fact, you know, I was in Port Harcourt last Saturday, I wasn't around, okay? When the pastor, my host there, was going to greet me on Sunday, he was just thanking us for coming. I went to Yinka. He was thanking us for the ministry and everything. And if it's some pastors, they will say, send money ahead. But this man didn't say so. Can you see how they are talking about me? Nice man. He did not say send money ahead. But when the musician says send money ahead, you know he's not talk. We expect it. That's what I'm talking about it. If I mention some names, you won't listen to their music again. And the music is so good, I don't want to deny you. Some people that you are using their songs to worship. Hallelujah, Father God, we praise your name. Praise the Lord. They will send them money ahead. I'm talking 500K. They will not come, they won't refund. We really don't think much of it. Look, the only musician I know in recent times, one of the big names, that said he will never charge churches again, was Aswek here. I'm not trying to paint him like holier than thou. But at a point in time, he said, I think he had a dealing with the Lord. After that, he said, no, if I'm going to a church, I will not charge them. Now, let's be practical a bit. If the man is going to bring higher equipment, you have to pay for it. You can discuss such things. If he has to hire maybe the guy on the, if he has to pay those, we can discuss some of those things. But his own personal one, the man said, once it's a church, I will come like every other preacher. When I'm going, anything you give me, I take it. Now, why I'm talking about this is this. That day when we brethren were chatting, all right, we're just saying that, okay, how should we handle this situation? But what I'm going to emphasize to us Christians is for us to understand that if you understand that each thing is a ministry, I'm talking about what the devil did to us. Do you understand? What Jesus said is that just do what I told you to do. And listen to me, you will never lack. But the word said, no. Make sure it is money bringing. So we change businesses like we change clothes, depending on what it brings. And that's what I'm trying to say. We must get to a point in life that as believers, we see everything we do as what? A mission. And if you cannot see a mission in what you are doing, begin to pray so that the Lord leads you into something that you can say, yes, I have discovered the mission I have in life. I'm a medical practitioner, so I tell some of my colleagues, listen, Enugu doesn't have, do you know this Enugu right now, eh? He doesn't have one good hospital, not one. Okay, no, he has one. That's the only one. There's no other one in this town where a man that doesn't have faith will fall sick, they will take him to, and I'll be confident. Government, look. Government pays in most of the teaching hospitals nothing less than 300 million a month in staff wages. And yet, when Nigerians want serious surgery, they go to India. Our wage bill, medical tourism, is $500 million a year that we give to India. $500 million. There is nothing Indians do we can't do. The problem, just the same problem we had with Nitel. Same problem we had when Nitel was controlling everything, we didn't have phones. Why did I tell you the story? Not to scare you. To let you know there's a ministry. I tell some of my colleagues, say, what's all of this? Everybody opening backyard clinic. Four people come together and don't see it as a that's what I'm coming to. Don't see it as a money-making venture. That this is something we must do because it is a shame that Nigerians have to still travel to India for procedures. It is a shame. God has commissioned some people to go and wipe that shame off the face of this country. And except you don't love money, you can never do it. The only reason why we can't do this thing is that we love money. Yesterday, one of my colleagues, one of our senior colleagues died about 2-3 weeks ago. So yesterday was the, we know, different ceremony because it was a very important person, a professor, a woman. So there was a ceremony in Park Lane. There was one in academic board meeting. There was one in the hospital when I got there. The son was speaking, talking. He said that, you see, that the mother was a very selfless person. The woman will be in pains because of her problems and all of that. And yet she will still take care of her patients. That these doctors are selfless. I jammed the plastic surgeon beside me. I said, which doctor is selfless? The selfless one just died. The woman is dead. His mother. So it was a selfless that, look, we should respect our doctors. They are selfless. The guy sitting beside me is a plastic surgeon. I said, who is selfless? I said, this guy. I said, the selfless generation has died. Another one of the selfless generation just left. So this one, these days, they are not selfless. My teaching hospital has been closed for 6 weeks because of increase in salary. I told the guy, he shook his head. I said, we can't joke selfless is that. We are not selfless. All we are doing is money. Give me my money. Give me more money. I said, we selfless. You know what I'm going to say? The only solution to these problems is you and me. So I said, some of my colleagues, I said, listen, it's time to create a hospital. This one that they abandoned there, somebody should pray it out of government hand. The one opposite GT Bank. Somebody should pray that in out of government hand. And pray the Lord of the harvest to send medical laborers into that thing. And create a place where a man who has his money can just walk in and get best treatment. He doesn't have to fly anywhere. We're talking about advancement of the kingdom. People think he just runs to church. I digress all of this, trying to emphasize something to us here. That, you see, you could not get that thing done until it gets to a point that you say, this is a mission. They will give you a job somewhere. You say, no, I have a mission to fulfill. Christians are not, they have not been taught enough to commit their lives to say, I don't have to be a preacher. Yes, anybody can be deacon in the church because deacon is about responsibility and being an elder. You get my point? Like, okay, you've been here for a long time. You are a responsible person. You have good character. We need somebody to coordinate things. We'll put you there. Fine. But please, don't say, okay, now you've been a deacon for 2 years. It's now to make you associate pastor. Afterward, they're going to make you start another branch. You will soon branch your life, branch your destiny, destroy yourself. God will get tired of you one day. All these postings that you think it is spiritual, it's not spiritual. It's how you run away from the will of God for your life. If you are not called to ministry, please run away from me. It's a dangerous game. James said it. You see this guy who calls them preachers? Judgment day. They are kuboko na double. That's what James said. But why people run to it is that they think it's glamorous. And I show up, say, pastor. One of my friends met one joker. Assuming the guy's name was Fred. He knew in church long before. Junior guy. He said, ah, Fred, how now? The guy said, Pastor Fred. My friend called me and said, the world has really gone mad. The guy felt like he has advanced. At that time, don't Jericho in hair small. That's nonsense. That's why people run to it now. They don't know that God said, listen, my friend, I've given you a job. You're supposed to be casting news. You're supposed to be a journalist. You're supposed to be a movie maker. You're supposed to be whatever it is. Take it like this is the only way I put my influence into that place. Ben Carson told a story about his life, which I like very much. He said, when he started working in Johns Hopkins, black man. I mean, his case was interesting because of many things. You know the story. But after a while, he looked at the money they were paying him. Bros, you think only Nigerians want more money? Even Americans want more money. He said, I looked at the money. The money was not much. It's always like that when you have an institution that's an academic institution. They generally don't pay very well. It's like that all over the world. They don't pay very well. So one day they decided to resign, that I'm not doing again. Why? Some of his friends had come to set up a hospital somewhere else. And listen to this. They were offering him a salary that was 3 times as much as he was earning in Johns Hopkins. See what I said? How many times? 3 times. So he's mindful that we are both flesh. You understand? His flesh went and said, okay, I will come. So he went and met his boss. The boss saw his resignation letter. I called him, Ben, what's going on? Please, sir, I'm sorry I have to leave. At that time, he had gathered a lot of skill. He had gone to Australia where he honed his skill very well because he operated so much, serving 5 consultants, only him. His boss said, what is the problem? He said, sir, it is money. That my advice, he said, listen, it's not a decision you should make. Talk to him, say, look, we'll see how we can improve it, but please, don't go. Thank God he listened. Thank God he was not like Demas. Today I saw a man named Demas working for Bishop. I said, Bishop, are you sure this boy won't depart from you? Bishop said, his name is Demas. I said, ah! Thank God he wasn't like Demas, who departed from him. Because the money was better where Ben Carson was supposed to go. Ben Carson stayed. They tried to improve his income a bit, but you can be sure they did not even double it. Not even talking about tripling it. But he chose to stay. And because he chose to stay, you are now in Nigeria today. At least 12 hours flight away from where he is, I'm talking about him. If you watch your TV 2 weeks ago, he was there debating as one of the runners for the next presidential election under the Republican Party. Because he stayed. I always recommend books. That's why I recommend his book, Gifted Hands. The Big Picture. Take that risk. Read those books, you'll know what's going on in life. What the world did to us is to tell us, run after where the money is. And my message to you today is that it's not like that. God says, anything I commit into your hands, let me put it this way. If you are doing what it is that I told you to do, what I called you to do, you will never lack. If you are perpetually lacking, go and find out whether this is actually where I say it should be. Now, when we're talking about perpetually lacking, I'm not saying the world has given you standards, though, because the world can make you lack. What they call in medicine, high output heart failure. You know what they call high? I used to teach my students. And your wife decides that all her mates go to shop in Paris, you will always lack. Are you getting my point? Once what your mates are doing is what is pursuing you, lack is your portion. Not because God is not giving to you, but because he hasn't given you satisfaction. Like I told you about last time. I don't want to teach it now. But back to what I'm saying. Within the limits of what is reasonable, according to divine order, you will never lack. If you are always lacking, check. Very likely, you are not doing what he said you should do. What I'm trying to say, that is, where he placed you is where he said, seek, that is, the kingdom. Be committed. Now, this is not just about committed to church, but committed to say, my life is about bringing righteousness into this place. My life is about bringing righteousness into this place. That's what my life is about. It's not about what I'm going to get out of it. My balance sheet is how much righteousness did I bring into that place. My balance sheet is not how much money at the end of the day. Sometimes I'm driving around Enugu. If you come out from that area, drive down towards the express. You see houses, brown and brown, off brown and brown, the other side. You know that road that runs parallel to brown and brown. Today I was driving down this way. So beautiful houses. You know what's in my mind? So I'm a spiritual man. Tell yourself, he's a spiritual man. I'm very spiritual. I was looking at the fine buildings, beautiful buildings. And I said to myself, do you know these things will all pass away? That's all I was thinking. My mother was with me and said, this house is fine. Yes, this one's fine. I was just thinking in my heart. I said, do you know the Romans did not know that the city of Rome will vanish? The temple in Jerusalem was so magnificent. They said our modern day cathedral, 8 of it was the size of Solomon's temple. The one Herod was building. Then Jesus looked at it and said, not one stone will remain on top of another. I look at it, you know, when you look, I see, sometimes I look, the other day we were watching on TV, National Geographic, or Discovery World, they're talking about this building in Abu Dhabi. That building that leans 3 times more than the Tower of Pisa. Yeah. Anyway, those iconic buildings. Of course, you know, I don't need to tell you about Burj Khalifa. The Burj Khalifa is 850 meters high. Burj Al Arab was built at the cost of £2 billion. Anytime I see it, but now I even know the prophetic word for that one. The prophetic word for Burj Khalifa and Burj Al Arab, I know it. You know the prophetic word? Kiss the sun, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. An angel will use Burj Al Arab to play golf. The thing will fly. Trust me. Panky, how do you know? Because he said, kiss the sun, lest he be angry. Those who have not been kissing him, they are counting their days towards his anger. Every day you spend in disobedience is moving you closer towards his anger. Now, why did I go into all of that? We Christians, we are not worldly people. Please give me an amen.
Amen.
We don't judge success by those things. Every material thing for us is a tool. to be used and thrown away. We are committed to the advancement of the kingdom. You know, I read two scriptures today. The second one I read, I haven't yet said anything about it, even though I've been talking about it. Let me quickly say something about it, then I close, because it would be like, why did you read it? The issue of Elijah, when Elijah was going to hear God, what I want to bring out from it again is this. Anytime God is moving, the big and popular thing that you see is usually not what he's doing. That's what I wanted to bring out from it, but I didn't fully analyze it before I swayed into all this I'm saying. Of course, everything I've said, we can deduce it from the temple that was being neglected. I am trying to drive Christians into commitment, into promoting the kingdom of God. What the Holy Spirit left for me today, allowed me to say so far, is that you must understand there are different aspects to life. It's not only the preacher that is serving the purpose of the kingdom. And every Christian must understand that wherever God has placed me, that is a place where I am supposed to push the kingdom. And we must handle our lives, therefore, like we are on a mission. We don't make decisions just because it's better somewhere. Life is not about it is better for you. Life is about what impact will I make where I am. One of my brothers, the one that I was telling you earlier, he said something when he was in the U.S. for this program. He said they had this career counseling, this thing that they go for. He's doing an MBA in one of America's top universities. So he said somebody asked him, "You didn't go for the career counseling thing?" He said no. They were surprised. "Why not? You paid this amount of money to come and do this program and all of that." He said, "Because I don't want a job in America." He said they were surprised. That forever all the, because they found, "Oh, you're a Nigerian, you don't want to stay in the U.S. Ah, they thought everybody, you finish work at an American top MBA school, you know, you're a good candidate. So they were telling them what the placements and all that. He said, "No, I'm going back home." They were surprised. Now, this is the point. He said, the guy who asked him, he told him, "How old am I?" He said, "For me to be able," now listen to this, "for me to be able to make any positive impact in your society," he told the fellow, "I cannot break in until the next 10 years. He said, "By that time, I'll be 45. He said, "How much impact remains for me to make in your environment, that is, in your society?" He said, "No, I'm sorry. I'm going back home where I'm already doing something. Where the young man is already going from one school to another, leave his work, to go and train young people in how to live life righteously and do business the godly way. Encourage them on how to succeed. A young man that's already authored, he has already authored a book, all right, on investments. He has is written articles for This Day Online, their financial segment. He writes periodicals, you know, to his email group on Nigerian business sector. Say, so why will I leave all of this? What will I say is pursuing me to come and join the United States?" He and I were chatting. I said, "My brother, do you know why your life is like that?" I said, "Because David said, I have more understanding than my teachers. Because your precepts, thank you, are my meditation." I said, "It's because you have been meditating on the word of God. That's why your eyes clear like this." That is, he sees life as what? A mission. As a mission. You know, there are two things I wanted to say. Let me quickly say so that I'll be able to continue next time. Because where I was going, again, is that issue of that commitment, living our lives for the advancement of this world. I've explained one area about what? Seeing everything as a mission and treating your life as a ministry. Anything you want to do, you do it the same way Pastor Banky does Kingdom World. Not purely because, that is, the primary reason is not I want to make money. The primary reason that if I don't do it, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Are you getting my point? That's it. Now, I was saying something there. Let me quickly say that one, then I can close. Why do we read that? I want to talk about the distraction that Christians often have. You look at Nigeria today, especially southern Nigeria, and it's like all over the country, even in the north. On Sunday, everybody goes to church. Everybody. If you're a pastor, you start a church, you are sure somebody will come. They will come. Just put a speaker out there. Somebody will show up. I don't mean this as criticism. It's just an analysis. I just want to bring a point out. Redemption Camp, they're building an auditorium that's 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. That's 9 square kilometers, a hall. I just want to bring out an issue. It lets you know the amount of people that they feel they can gather in the place and be covered at a time, and cover them at a time. Churches are all over the place. But I want to say something to you today. Most of them are a distraction. If you're a pastor, and if you're a Christian, that's one thing you must bear in mind. Once you see something that is loud and big, everybody is doing it. Most likely, it is the fire that is burning. It is a rock that is cracking, the earthquake, and it is a wind that is blowing before the Lord, because the Lord came. What you will now do is to bow your heads and say, Lord, what is the gentle blowing that is behind all of this noise? For every joker that is crowned pastor, there is an authentic one inside. I don't know what I get on and say. He has to forget all the noise when they say they are ordaining 10,000 deacons. It's a sign that the Lord is coming. But if they make you one of the 10,000, don't be impressed. Ask yourself, what am I supposed to be doing? I don't know whether I'm getting this point across. That don't let the multitude drown you. There is a unique thing that God wants you to do. And you know, there's one lie they tell in one of the congregations in Nigeria. That it's better to be part of a big thing than to be a guy of a small thing. If you have that mindset, you will soon die. You hear what I said? If you have that mindset, are you getting my point? That's how to destroy yourself. A big denomination tells you it is better to be part, a small part of a big thing, than to be the boss of a small thing. In effect, take your church, join it to our own. Then you are safer. Bros, you have joined the earthquake. You have joined the fire. The small, quiet voice, which was why God placed you in that your so-called small place, you have abandoned it, and you will never know what God wants you to do in life. Most Christians these days, they use denominational identity to bury their calling. They are prouder of the church they belong to than the work that God gave them to do. I will speak more about it next time. I want you to get to that. So as I tell you, just bring forth what I begin to say. Now, what I've just said, now, for many people, it just passed. Yeah, it doesn't concern you yet. For those it concerns, it is liberating. There are those who have schemed, they plotted. One day I will be senior pastor. One day I will be, you know, district pastor. One day I will be central pastor. Then one day somebody told our brother Okemute, he's a redeemed pastor. He said, what's wrong with you? Don't you want to rise in this place? The man began to laugh. But I want to rise in the structure. Because the man, they do, you know, no eye service, nothing. Somebody goes, what's wrong with you? Don't you want to rise? You know they call it rise? The guy look up, rise. Where am I rising to? Rise out of the will of God. Rise away from where God has called me to be. Rise away from where I can make impact in my generation. Listen, when you see a lot of noise, that's not what God is doing, no. When you see plenty of noise, look behind. Search carefully. What exactly is God saying to me? Elijah was a man of experience. He saw the noise, he wasn't distracted. Listen, until each one of us as Christians settle down to hear that blowing, that gentle blowing, so that God can tell you, listen, go, anoint Jehu, Hazael, as king of Syria. Anoint Jehu as this one. Anoint that one. And anoint Elisha. Until we get to that point, the kingdom of God will not advance. What Satan tries to do is to distract people. He says, get into the big noise. I'm telling you, no. Whatever be your own ministry today, it doesn't mean that you're a pastor. But listen, you will spread the gospel faster into the people who are in your industry than I, preaching, can spread it because I'm not in that industry. There are languages you can speak. I don't know how to speak. A brother called me the other day. He needed counsel about legal matters. He's a lawyer. He was talking about how does he balance the balances. As soon as I finished talking, I said, do you know Barrister Kerewe? He said, yes. I said, call him. He's a believer. He's a senior lawyer. He can advise you. Because I don't know what he's talking about. The jurisprudence that underlined the locus standi, I have no idea. Or the meddlesome interloping, do I know what it means? He's a believer, he's a lawyer, and he's a senior lawyer. He will give you all the answers that you need. Pastor Banky, apart from ministry, I'm a doctor. I can counsel doctors. I hope you get my point. I've said many things today. I hope you got your own portion. And if you prayed like that at the beginning that you'll get your portion. I hope you got it too. I've done, like Ken Hagin will say, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I've sure preached myself happy. Let's bow our heads and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth that is liberating. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for freedom. I thank you that I can see. That is very important. The other day, my mom and my sister, the three of us, were just joking. We were just talking about life, how people go around deceiving people. My mother said something at the point in time. This was just yesterday or 2 nights ago. He said, thank God that we have light, too. That all of this is because of light. That otherwise, anybody can be confused. That's why I said, say after me, Father, I thank you for light.
Father, I thank you for light.
Thank you that I can see.
Thank you that I can see.
Thank you because you have set me free.
Thank you because you have set me free.
Lord, thank you for the knowledge of truth.
Lord, thank you for the knowledge of truth.
Say, Jesus, thank you for breaking the curse. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for breaking the curse.
Lord Jesus, thank you for breaking the curse.
Every curse over my life
has already been broken.
Nothing can bind me.
I am not bound.
I am free in Christ Jesus.
All my sins are forgiven.
Say it again. All my sins are forgiven.
All my sins are forgiven.
All the curses are broken.
Failure is not my portion.
Premature death is not my portion.
Say,
I will not die.
I will live.
I will fulfill the purpose of God for my life.
Say it again. I will not die.
I will live.
I will fulfill the purpose of God for my life.
I will carry the kingdom of God into my own area of life.
Say it, I am a true soldier of Christ.
I live for him.
He takes care of me.
Say, I'm not worried about tomorrow.
Sufficient unto the day
is the evil thereof.
Say,
my God
shall supply
all my needs
according to his riches in glory
in Christ Jesus.
That's why I'm not worried about tomorrow.
Say this after me. Now, listen, I want, as I'm about to say this, I want to think about your business, your endeavor, your financial need, whatever it is. All right? I want to put the word of God over it. Say, it will make all grace abound towards me.
It will make all grace abound towards me.
Grace is enablement. Grace is favor. Grace is things working for you beyond your own ability. Say it again. He will make all grace abound towards me.
I will have all sufficiency in all things.
And I will abound to every good work.
Please
just put up your hand. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Please, can you put that hand on your head if you don't mind, especially if you want the healing power of God to touch you. I declare peace be upon you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't forget, the peace of God is a spiritually tangible substance. That's why Jesus said it can give it, it can come back to you. Once again, I say, peace be upon you.
Amen.
From the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Amen.
Every affliction, every trouble, every disease, whether it's in the scalp or it's a mental affliction, anywhere from that where your hand is to the sole of your feet, I rebuke it and I command it to go away in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus died to set you free.
Amen.
Therefore, I say, peace be upon you. You are free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are.